Welcome to the 4D Human Being Podcast. Today we ask, are we willing to let go in order to let in? As the professor of literature, Joseph Campbell, said, we must be willing to let go of the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. Join Philippa and Penelope as they talk about letting go of past dreams or letting go of what we think life should be, which may just open the door to more possibility. We hope you enjoy the show. The sun is absolutely streaming in to the pod. This is a poddle in a poddle.
It's a poddle in a hot poddle.
It's a hot poddle in a hot poddle. So I'm in my lovely garden office and the sun is sort of pouring in. And I had the radiators on because it's only March. And now it's almost like a sauna, which I have got one wooden wall. So in theory, it could double up. I could just kind of heat it up.
I'd like to see you taking your client calls from a sauna, Phil.
Well, also, I haven't got any blinds up at the window, so I think the neighbours might have something to say.
Yeah, so I think there's some problems with that strategy.
But I do like the idea of doing a poddles within a poddles.
I like the idea of that sunshine moving over in my direction because it's very grey here.
It's not that many miles.
I know.
I think your grey is coming over here.
Well, maybe the sun will reappear here then.
Maybe it'll cool the poddles down. So, what's that song?
We were going to sing today, weren't we?
When you say we, discuss.
You wanted a singing competition.
Well.
Only because you are sort of a professional singer in a choir and knew you'd win it. So,
I'm not commenting.
We were going to sing the famous song from the famous Disney film because
Letting go.
There she goes. I knew she couldn't resist. Yeah.
So it is about letting go.
Yeah.
What are you letting? That's it. We're just letting go. We could let go of talking. I mean, do you know? But don't you sometimes feel that? Don't you sometimes feel like, oh, just stop talking?
I feel that about you sometimes.
I knew you were going to say that. I so fed you that. That's the thing about duos, comedy duos. People don't realise how funny the feed person has to be sometimes. Because your mind actually, when you're improvising comedy, the feed person has got to be two steps ahead of the punchline deliverer, if you think about it.
You didn't know I was going to pick it up, though. There was a chance I would have let it go, but I didn't.
And I think that's the problem. So let's talk about letting go. No, seriously, though. It's definitely, definitivement, the theme du mois pour moi.
I think we had a lot of theme du jours in the last one, so I don't know why there's such a French theme. But I believe this came up, Phil, because as you predicted in your very witchy way, we are doing a lot of work in the well-being arena. And of course, we are very tools-based at 4D Human Being. So we are action-focused, break patterns, make changes, start with the behaviour. Now you're saying that's all great and we can also...
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because herein lies the paradox. How do we both take on new ideas and tools at the same time of letting go? So in a way, we have to create new space, don't we?
Yeah.
For new ways of being. There's a lovely quote. I'm going to read it right now. Joseph Campbell. This is the quote du moment. And there's a little French for you there as well. We must be willing to let go of the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. I think we should just dive in. So Joseph Campbell talks a lot. He's a storyteller and writer about story and particularly around the human condition. And I think we should just go to the heart of this theme and why it came up. And then we can start riffing around it. And I'll probably do a lot of setups and I'll give you some punchlines around it. Okay. So somebody...
Looking forward to that.
Somebody said to me... on a webinar I was doing recently for International Women's Day, what do you do? Because of the pandemic, a lot of people's plans and kind of what they'd looked into the future, thought that's going to happen, or might be career plan or personal plan, had been spoiled. And so the question was, what do you do? And I'm going to tell this story truthfully this time. I'm not going to take ownership of a line that wasn't actually mine. I think a bit of artistic license every now and then is fine. But she asked, what do you do when your dreams are ruined? And of course, I referenced the TEDx talk I did, that life is not a script. It's an improvised scene, that we're all making it up. And actually, even when the worst things happen, we have to be like improvisers and accept where we are and build from there.
Accept the offer that the world is
exactly.
making.
Exactly. But then, and I love language and think, oh, I'm quite good at that. You know. And then I mentioned it to the lovely Kevin that night and said, oh, this came up. And
he gets a lot of good PR in our podcast, I know he does. By the way. In fact, a friend of mine who is a big fan of our podcast referenced it to me and said, Philippa is clearly devoted to Kevin. Like, he sounds like such a lovely man. He's been so heavily branded and PR'd.
I'm not sure he'd say that. Anyway. And so I mentioned it to him and I said, you know, the question was, what do you do when your dreams are ruined? And this is what he said. You dream again. Oh, isn't that just, I mean, it's just
I know.
The beauty and simplicity of that, that you just, you reset. This is what it is. This is where we are. Dream again. Isn't that lovely? And that is about letting go. That's the big let go. You know, of course, there are more practical, smaller things we can do day to day. But I just love that. Dream again. Don't give up dreaming.
I love it. For anybody out there who is a little bit more kind of left brain thinking and likes to live in the bricks and mortar of life and likes kind of tangibility, which I hold my hand up to. And so an expression like that feels a little bit too woolly and difficult to hold on to, which I understand, although I love the phrase. Something that I really like to think about is the Steve Jobs inauguration speech that he made. Mm. Was it inauguration speech? Can't remember. Anyway, I think it was at a university, Stanford University. And he talked about joining the dots backwards. And I really like thinking about that in terms of dreaming again. It's a different path. There's a gift. It's not what you expected, but something else will happen. Because I feel like it will all make sense at some point in the future. That's the big hope. I'll look back.
Yeah, it will.
And we're very good. We're very adaptable as human beings and we're very good at meaning making. So as we move into the future and we look back at these things, we go, now I see why that needed to happen. And I really like that as well.
Yeah, I think it saves us. It really can. Yeah. So let's get some practicalities around this. So one of the things that I have been super focused on is the physicality.
Yeah.
And I mentioned on this International Women's Day panel, they were asking kind of what rituals, what habits have you picked up and kept going during the pandemic? And I could honestly say, because I'm going to say something, and the thing I'm going to say is the sort of thing that you'd normally say that it isn't really true, but you're just sort of saying it because that's what people say. But I can actually say it's true. So I said, oh, I've been doing a lot of yoga, been doing daily yoga. Now, when I hear someone say, I've been doing daily yoga, I pretty much always think, you've done it a couple of times, haven't you? But you haven't. It's not daily. And now it's just a yoga mat in the corner, isn't it?
You cynic.
So cynical. But actually, I have been doing it and I've been doing the yin yoga. I'm sure everybody who ever says they do daily yoga do daily yoga. It's probably just me. But I've been doing yin yoga. And yin yoga is really about letting go. It's about sitting with those long poses and just dropping everything. And another theme that ties into this that you were talking about earlier is I think that letting go can do so much for imposter syndrome, because you let go of all of the armor and the fear and you come back to the self and go, I think this is good enough. Like, this feels okay. I don't have to kind of brace myself.
And we came to this, didn't we? Well, we were talking about this specifically around well-being. Now, whilst it's useful for many things, whether that's time management or pressure and stress or anxiety or whatever it might be, you know, career development, there's lots of reasons to think about letting go and thinking about that in different dimensions as well, not just in terms of our sort of intellectual narrative. But one of the reasons we came to this was around well-being, I think.
Yeah.
So in terms of sort of taking care of ourselves.
100%. The first thing is, because that's why I'm starting with the physical, and we'll go into the kind of the emotional and the intellectual.
Well, I love that thing you did the other day, which I'm sure you're going to do now in terms of the holding.
Well, this is
and,
it.
And even as a facilitator on the session with you, I was so suddenly aware of the holding. So explain what I mean by that.
Yeah, so it's so true. So listeners, take a moment and simply check what muscles are you holding unnecessarily right now? So if you're sitting down or driving or going for a walk, just check from your jaw to your shoulders, to your back, to your legs. Just check, are you holding muscles, or fists might be? Are you holding muscles that aren't actually being used to keep you upright?
Mine is my feet when I'm sitting.
Oh, feet.
Feet very, very held the whole time, like almost like I'm standing up and the feet are holding me up even though I'm sitting.
See, I think this stuff is really early. This stuff is from babyhood. So mine is absolutely upper torso and shoulders, like braced. So just check in with that and let go, right? Now, there's so many pieces we could talk about around this, around how we armor. Firstly, it's just a big waste of energy. We are wasting energy that we could simply let go of that effort and release that energy for more interesting things. But secondly, as we talk about a lot, oh my goodness, your body is just pounding messages up to your brain. And if your body is tense, the messages are going to come in the form of sort of, you know, war telegrams, aren't they? Like, we're in trouble here. But so simply by releasing that brace, you know, it's like in aeroplane, brace, brace. Most of us are bracing all the time.
It's true.
And we've just learned it. It's like a defense. And that is the beginning of all then the emotional and intellect, all our other defense mechanisms. It starts in the body, and that's why yin yoga has been my thing.
Well, and I think as part of that, and yoga probably helps, I think as part of that, we do often refer to education and what we're taught, but we're not really taught how to be in our bodies.
No.
So even when we do presentation skills, or we're talking about impact, whether that's virtually, whatever it might be, I think a lot of us feel like in order to be dynamic and present, we have to really hold the body. And there is a difference between our posture and being upright and actually sort of tensing the muscles in our body. But we're not taught it. So we're just, we're fumbling through how to use our body.
It's sort of lose-lose, because we're both tense and armoured, and sort of our breath isn't in sort of flow, and we're not in our bodies. There's a lovely quote by Jim Rowan, who was Tony Robbins' sort of mentor, and it's, take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. And I just love that. But the truth is that a lot of people don't live. They only live in the head. They like live in the attic of their body. And they don't actually live in the body. And it's such a different feeling when we let go and allow ourselves to inhabit our body. Anyway, I mean, I could go on about this.
This is why the creative arts are so important in our education system. And I know I'm always referring it, but there's been a lot of conversation recently about really, really overhauling the education system post-pandemic, you know, how much we've learned about what's really important. And of course, you went to drama school, Phil, so you would have spent more time than most of us in terms of learning how to...
Crazy poses,
understanding the body. But it's just not something that a lot of us are used to doing.
Yeah. And even doing that, it's really interesting, because even doing that, so breathing as I think about it, there's a big difference between being in your body for you and being in your body for an audience.
Yeah.
You know, so even that, I think for me, there's a whole other level. Perhaps the great actors will sort of, you know, tell me otherwise. I'm sure they would, but maybe I wasn't one of them. It's very different when there's an audience. So that's the physical.
Just to finish on that, Phil, just to be really clear, this is not about collapse. There is a difference between tension 100%. And collapse. It's not either of those.
100%. 100%. It is absolutely. So start with that. We're going to say the Deb Dana quote again. Story follows state. Get your body into your parasympathetic nervous system by letting go. Yes, it's not about flopping to the floor. But I do wonder if that's what we think will happen. You know what I do? As a baby or as a little child, if you learn to sort of hold part of yourself, I do wonder if actually this is certainly what's spoken about in psychotherapy from a perspective of Donald Winnicott and the work around the good enough mother and the holding and the containing environment. The idea being that if you don't feel held enough, it literally doesn't feel like the world can hold you. And so you have to hold yourself. And that's where it comes from. So, you know, we have to kind of press refresh on that and understand that gravity and the ground, it will hold us.
Well, it's like something you said to me this morning, which I absolutely love, is until we start really thinking these things through and learning these things, our minds and bodies will tell us the information that we had as a child. Yeah. And of course, as a child or as a baby, you can't hold yourself. So of course it feels terrifying and insecure, and therefore you have to find a way to hold yourself. But of course, as adults, we are very capable of holding ourselves.
This came just very quickly because we were tying this in with imposter syndrome. This came off the back of a conversation around that. And exactly that fear, that imposter syndrome, very often comes from a part of us that as we're going into a presentation or, you know, to pitch for money in front of VCs or to, you know, wow our bosses, and we get that imposter syndrome, it is a younger part of us that quite honestly isn't capable of delivering that presentation or that meeting. But we have to exactly that, let go of that part of you. And you can really use the body to do that. That segues us. Andy! Super segue. Because that really segues us beautifully into letting go of narrative. So letting go of narratives. Pen, what have you got to say about letting go of narratives?
Well, again, these are things that build up from when we are very, very young. So we are probably not even aware of the fact that these narratives have been created by us. They are just in our heads, beliefs that we have. So we take them to be truths. And these are things that we have created. So we spoke the other day, didn't we, on one of our sessions about giving yourself a different narrative and using a particular way of doing that. Because I think you can say, let go of that. That's not who you are, or that's not true. And sometimes it's quite hard. Well, often it's quite hard just to let go of it. You know, these narratives have been embedded neural pathways. They are beliefs we hold about ourselves or the world around us. So it's not often as simple as saying, you can let that go. Some people might find that easy, but others of us need some tools and techniques to let go of unhelpful narratives.
It's true. And actually, the easiest way, of course, is starting with the body, is to, rather than trying to let go of something, it's like sort of don't think of a pink elephant, isn't it? It's to build new ones. It is making me think.
Now I'm thinking of a pink elephant.
There you go, you see? There you go. That's how it works. I think it's Thomas Sowell. I've been looking at Thomas Sowell, who's a sort of fascinating thinker, economist in the US. He's politically further to the right, I would say, well, definitely. But he had a really good quote. He's interested in facts. So he talks about, anyway, one of the quotes that he has, which I love, is, and I'm going to totally misquote it because I can't quite find it, but basically he's saying that what a lot of us take for truths are just simply ideas that have been repeated a lot.
That's exactly.
And it's true in society, it's true in the media, and it's true in our heads.
Yeah.
That if we've repeated them again and again over the years, we take them as truths. But actually, if we did a little research project on our own thoughts and beliefs, we might be quite surprised.
Yes, and particularly if they are repeated in a way that is quite sticky, as we would say, in quite a storytelling way. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was about a mother who got accused of killing her two babies. And really, as the narrator of this podcast unpacked it all, and he spoke to different people and psychologists and policemen, and really what the conclusion he came to is the narrative that she had killed her two babies was stronger than the narrative that this was a coincidence that two babies had died of cot death. And that narrative just stuck. So we are very susceptible as human beings to sticky and repeated narratives. Well, and we're also really good at creating those narratives ourselves about ourselves.
100%. And I know exactly the podcast you're talking about. And in that case, and this is another good super segue, Andy, just give us one. Thank you very much. Is because that narrative, that podcast was saying that the narrative of the wicked mother.
Yes, exactly.
And if we think about all the kind of, you know, the particularly wicked stepmother, all the kind of fables and fairy tales we're told, the narrative of the wicked mother was far stronger than the rather
unlikely statistical coincidence.
Yeah. Exactly, that it actually happened. And she actually spent time in jail. I mean, it was a terrible ending to that story. I'm not going to go into that. But what my super segue, Andy, just to make sure that was a valid super segue jingle, is it is these identities. Because I think another part of this is about how we let go of identity and adjectives and quality descriptions about us, if you like, that simply don't serve us anymore. So when someone says, oh, well, the thing about you, Philippa, you know, you and I do this to each other all the time. And, and what serves you and what doesn't, because, and not that it's bad, and sometimes it's about letting go of the idea that you're only that. That you're somehow limited to only being that, and go, I'm all sorts of things.
If I think about one of the narratives that is about me, I would offer, and you may disagree, but I would offer that there is still a narrative about me that I'm quite sensitive. And I don't think I am.
No, certainly. I don't think you can afford to be with the curveballs that ping in at you.
Exactly. Yeah. I think
you're very robust.
I think I'm pretty robust and resilient and quite strong, actually. But there must have been something in my behaviour as a child, or maybe my behaviour relative to you as a child.
Yeah, maybe you showed feelings.
That I got labelled the sensitive one, and it's still there.
Yeah.
And it's only now that I'm talking about it that I think, well, A, it's still there, and B, it's just not true.
Yeah, 100%. So I think this is a really, really interesting one. So again, sort of listeners, we might need a listener's little jingle, Andy. It's too much.
You've got to stop asking Andy for jingles. It's going to end up like a DJ set.
Like a sort of song. Can I just check what we do have? We've got Super Segway.
And we've got the sort of psycho, when you were about to criticise me about something, he put a psycho one in.
Oh, put a psycho one in. Okay, so those are options. Okay, okay. Oh, yeah, no, so that's what I was saying. I was wondering whether there was a jingle for listeners, listen up. It's time to get a tool and like, da, da, da. Yeah,
I think is the jingle. I think you've just done that.
Yeah,
you've
I didn't have a rhyme. And it was a shame because I just went on a walk and made up really good poems, didn't I? For you and the kids, really quickly. And then when I needed it for the podcast, it left me. But anyway.
Well, you can always record one later, Phil, and we can insert it.
Yeah, I could dip it in and pretend it just happened spontaneously. So, listeners, listen up. Think about narratives that are out there in the world about you or in your head about you, and have a challenge to them. Have a springtime challenge. What narratives or kind of, you know, qualities or adjectives could you let go of that don't serve you anymore? What could you just go, do you know what? That's not me. Or, you know, what can really happen is some people give us narratives that's actually their stuff. So sometimes it's not even letting go, it's giving back. Do you know what? That's yours. You can have that back. It's true, though. It's true. It's called projection in psychotherapy, that they project their stuff onto you. Oh, God, you're really timid, aren't you? I don't think that's you. Have timid back. Exactly. So just pop it back to them. You can write it down or sort of in your head go, oh, I'm just going to pop that back to you. That's not, I don't need that anymore. You can keep that.
I'm going to let that one go. Yeah. And another way to let go, if it's not as simple as recognizing it and just saying, well, I'm not going to use that anymore about myself. Another way to think about this, exactly as you said previously, Philippa, is to replace it with something different. Yes. So you're building the new neural pathways. Good pickup. And one way we did that the other day was to talk about your cheerleader, your internal cheerleader.
Oh,
so
yeah.
if there's a narrative about yourself that is not helpful and is not serving your well-being, so your robust psychological self, then what could be the phrase, the adjective, the voice that will make you feel better about yourself, that will boost you up?
Mine is definitely, you've got this.
Yeah.
Like, just nice and gentle. You've got this, you know.
Yeah, mine's also a bit more fabulous. Mine's a bit more fabulous than
good
that.
Good for you. And the other one is, you know, it's enough. Like, you're enough. And I think everyone should have that one.
Yeah. So go as calming or as celebratory as you like. But what would the cheerleader, your personal cheerleader, be telling you about yourself?
Okay, we're going to have a competition now. Please do write in to guess Penelope's inner cheerleader. Title.
You've got to go bold. You've got to go big. There's fireworks behind
it.
Let's put it like
behind
that.
It. Winner gets an Amazon voucher. Okay. Now, other
you
online
have said,
retailers
you,
are available.
You have actually said on previous podcasts, when I think I've done a really good session, I do sometimes call you up and tell you how fabulous I am. So.
Yes, no, you do. No, you've definitely got better at that self-celebration. I'm not sure I've got time for this. No, it's great. I love it. No, but the thing is, here's the real scientific letting go, of course, because when you are building the new pathway of, actually, I've got the skills I need. Actually, I'm enough. And actually, there's a big thing here about the idea that we have to have everything and all the ideas and all the skills is just so ridiculous. Let's let go of that for a start. So the neural pathway, once you build the new one, literally lets go of itself. It just disintegrates. So you are doing real tangible, hardcore neural letting go.
You can literally watch that online, can't you? I don't know if it's Joe Dispenza that you need to Google to find it, or just neural pathway disintegrating.
Neural pathway.
It's fascinating. You're watching someone's belief about themselves or something in the world dissipating.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to do two more really quickly. So one is what I just touched on then, which is let go of the need to know. That's a t-shirt, right? Because actually, but on a really, I mean, there's a sort of just a day-to-day application of this, of being stressed because we feel we don't know enough, we're not good enough, we should know more. But actually even more broadly is that we need those more right hemisphered brained leaders, and not in the old way we used to talk about left and right brain. So check in with Ian McGilchrist, the master and his emissary, the divided brain, really understanding that the right brain is really good at new contexts, new ideas, unexpected, dealing with change. It's just really good at it. So we need to get better at, I don't know, let's step in and ask questions rather than, well, let's do it how we used to do it because that's all I know. So that's the first thing. And the second thing I think we can let go of, so let go of the need to know. I mean, that is just the biggest gift you can give yourself. And the second, bearing in mind our education just tells us we've got to know stuff all the time.
Well, I was just going to say on that before you go on to the second point is, we need to find and trust that we will be valued just for who we are, even if we don't have the answers or the solutions to the problem. Because as you said, we need to believe I am being valued simply for who I am, even if I don't know.
Well, we're talking a lot about the 21-day experiment at the moment, and we've been using that in terms of well-being habits with your teams, with your family. Give it 21 days, put two or three new habits in for 21 days and just see what happens. And I would offer that as well to the good enough. 21 days, give yourself the experiment. You can pick back up after 21 days and decide you're not good enough and give yourself a lot of tension. But just 21 days of your life to play with the idea that you can show up and have more than you need without the tension and the stress.
Even set yourself the goal of going to one single meeting and not solving or offering or deciding anything. Yeah. Just set and see if you can do it and see how you feel at the end of it.
Yeah. Ooh, there's our challenge. Let go of the stuff and get into the relationship and the present.
Yeah. Very nice.
Let go to let in. That's the theme at the moment. I'm going to let go of you to let in the next thing I've got to do in my diary.
The past year has undoubtedly been unplanned, and letting go of outdated plans, narratives, and dreams can give space for new thoughts, new ideas, new experiences, and new dreams to unfold. If dreams don't come true, dream, dream, and dream again. You can find out more at 40humanbeing.com. We hope you enjoyed the show.